So I am not Ricky. For those who don't know me, I'm Erin Hicks. I'm the college minister here at First United Methodist Clinton. And today we're going to be looking at Ephesians chapter 2, and I'm actually going to back us up starting at verse 1. As today we finish our series called Bridge Builders. So Ephesians chapter 2, starting at verse 1. May we hear this word from God. You were dead through the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the ruler of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work among those who are disobedient. All of us once lived among them in the passions of our flesh, doing the will of the flesh and senses, and we were by nature children of wrath, like everyone else. But God, who is rich in mercy, out of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are what he has made us, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we may walk in them. So then, remember that at one time you Gentiles by birth, called the uncircumcision, by those who are called the circumcision, a circumcision made in the flesh by human hands. Remember that you were at that time without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace. In his flesh, he has made both into one, and has broken down the dividing wall that is the hostility between us, abolishing the law with its commandments and ordinances, that he might create in himself one new humanity in place of the two, thus making peace, and might reconcile both to God in one body through the cross, thus putting to death that hostility through it. So he came and proclaimed peace to you who were far off and peace to those who were near. For through him, both of us have access in one spirit to the Father. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Something that I think is so important in being a Christian, and it's why I started at verse 1, is realizing for me myself that God loves me and God forgives me. That's something that's so important. It's not just that for God so loved the world, but for God so loved me and you, that for God so loves each of us, that God forgives each of us. But for me, it's so important to begin with the truth that I was dead in my sins and my trespasses, following the course of this world. But God, who is abundant in mercy, out of the great love with which he has chosen to love me, has made me alive in Christ Jesus, my Lord and my Savior. Not as a result of anything that I have done or could ever do, but simply as a gift from God our Father. And for me, it's important to come back to this passage regularly and to remind myself of this. Because it's when I remember that God loves me, and God forgives me, and God has raised me to life in Christ Jesus, it is then that I am able to look at each of you and truly say, God loves you. God forgives you. We begin when we see the image of God within ourselves, the forgiveness that God has given us, and it is only then that we can truly see it in each other. And that's what we see in verses 11 through 18, when Paul moves from God loves me and God loves you to God loves us. And more than just us, but Paul moves into talking about how God loves us, especially us and those who we disagree with. Those who it is so easy for us to put up walls between us in today's world, to see our differences and to turn away. And Paul uses the language of the circumcision and the uncircumcision, which is super biblical language that doesn't really help us, because we don't realize that when he's talking about Jews and Gentiles, he's talking about two groups of people who were, they hated each other. They had a violent history. They wanted nothing to do with each other, let alone share a common life, let alone share a common table. And yet somehow, people from both the Jewish and Gentile groups had come to a shared faith, a common faith in God, a belief in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and a trust in the power of the Holy Spirit. With Jesus Christ as our cornerstone, we, as those who have proclaimed Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior, come together with all of our differences, finding Christ, building bridges between us instead of walls, with him as our cornerstone. With him showing us how we can love and serve one another and remind one another of the grace and goodness of God. I'm a United Methodist pastor. My dad is a United Methodist pastor. He's preached here a few times. One of the most powerful examples my parents set for me growing up is every year at annual conference, where all of the pastors and lay delegates come together, I probably only missed 5 in my life. Ever since I was a baby. And every year, over 40 years, my parents come to one table at least one night a week with this group of pastors they call friends. And this group of pastors has so many theological and political differences. But every year, over 40 years, they all come to this table to share life and to share relationship with each other. Because they found at that table a shared love of Jesus Christ, a shared mission to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. And they found at that table, with the differences that they have with each other, a strength. Bridges that Christ created that made the table bigger for all to have a place. Even me when I was 5 years old, surrounded by all these adults. It is so easy for us to see differences and to turn away from each other. But that is not what Christ calls us to do. Jesus calls us to be one body with one Lord. To build bridges with each other instead of walls. To be in relationship, true relationship with one another. To remind one another through the good and the bad in life. That I am loved and I am forgiven and you are loved and you are forgiven by a God whose love is constant. Church family, we are called to build bridges with one another, with Jesus Christ as our cornerstone. To keep adding chairs to our table, to hear how God is at work in one another's lives, and to encourage and love one another and pray for one another along the way. But first, it begins with each of us realizing how much God loves us individually and forgives us so that we may turn to the other and remind each other of God's love and forgiveness. Fred Craddock was a well-known pastor and a seminary professor. And he tells this story about a time when he and his wife were in Tennessee eating at a restaurant when in walks this older man who starts talking to all the tables. And people are just talking to him, and they have no clue who this man is. And the man comes up to their table and says, "I don't know y'all." And he asks their names, and then he asks, "Well, what do you do for a living?" And Fred Craddock, like many pastors, kind of cringes. Because what awaits the conversation after he says, "Well, I'm a pastor"? Well, the old man looks at him and says, "Well, I've got a story for you." And he pulls up a chair to the Craddock's table. And the man looks at him and says, "I was born in 1870 to an unwed mother." He said, "I did not know a life growing up without shame because I was the talk of the town. All the kids at school made fun of me. I had to eat lunch every day at school alone because I was that child of shame." He said, "I found a church with a pastor who I liked hearing him preach, but I'd slip in after the service began, and I'd slip out before it ended. He said because he was afraid of people saying, well, what's a child like you doing here? Because he'd heard all the comments, he'd heard all the jokes throughout his life. But one day, he got stuck. And there was the pastor looking down at him. And the pastor looked at him and said, I know who you are. You're a child. And the man said he remembers cringing, afraid of what this pastor might say. And the pastor looked at him and said, you are a child of God. I see the resemblance just looking at you. Now go and claim your inheritance. And that man said, that day I was born anew, and my life truly began. Not one marked by shame, but one marked as a child of God. Loved, forgiven. He said, that changed everything for me. And Fred Craddock, moved by this man's story, asked him his name, and the man said, Ben Hooper. Ben left, and Fred Craddock kept thinking to himself, Ben Hooper. Does anyone know who Ben Hooper was? Well, it hit Fred Craddock after the man left. Ben Hooper was the twice elected governor of the state of Tennessee. The son of a single mother, who so many of his years were marked by shame until a pastor chose to look at him and remind him of whose he is. And it changed everything. Church family, you are a child of God. You are forgiven. You are loved. Let us not miss any opportunity to remind each other of whose we are as we continue to build bridges and set more chairs at the table to share our common love and lordship of Jesus Christ. Let us pray. God, you choose to love us. You choose to forgive us. And because of your love and your forgiveness, Scripture says you now make us into one new humanity in Jesus Christ. Lord, it can be so easy for us to just stay where we are in our comfort zones. But Lord, may you call us out of ourselves to one another, to see in one another and to remind one another that we are yours, that we are loved, that we are forgiven. So that together we may share with the world the truth of who you are. It's in your Son's name that we pray and trust this day and every day. Amen.